God bless you, everyone. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Galatians, chapter 2. Galatians, chapter 2. We're going to share for a few minutes this morning about what is union with Christ. Galatians, chapter 2. While you find your way there, a couple of announcements. First of all, I want to remind you that our friends from Messiah's House, that's our messianic ministry and outreach, our friends from Messiah's House meet on the second Friday of every month. Regular meeting, monthly meeting is coming up next Friday, and our friend Grant Barry is going to be teaching on intercession. Friday after next. Our friend Grant Barry is going to be teaching on intercession, on prayers that change the world. And so we just want to invite you to join us on Friday evening, next Friday evening, week from Friday, and bring somebody with you, bring a friend with you. Then we want to remind you that today, our board of deacons and trustees and our pastors are beginning a fast for the first 21 days of the month of June. We're going to be praying and fasting for the Lord to help us as we pull together all the pieces to break ground on our phase two building. The next several weeks are very critical weeks for us. We have a number of things that we need to come into place. We need to procure our building permit from the town of Greenwich. We are putting together construction financing right now. We're going to have a meeting of our members in the month of June to share the details of that with you. And so it is a very busy time. It is a very critical time. We need the Lord's breakthrough on a few fronts specifically. We really need the Lord's help with his provision to get the cash together that we need to break ground on phase two. And so your pastors, your board of deacon and trustees, we're going to be fasting during the first 21 days from June 1st to the 21st and praying. And we want to invite you to just participate in that with us. And so here's what we're asking. We're asking that you would just prayerfully consider making some expression of fasting with us sometime in the next 21-day window. There are many different durations of fasting. There are different types of fasting. In fact, Pastor Nick wrote a great paper on fasting a couple of years ago. We emailed that to everyone who's on our email list a couple of days ago. If you didn't get that email, we have hard copies of that out on the Welcome Center. You can pick them up after the service. But between now and June 21st, would you make some expression of fasting with us, and would you pray with us that the Lord would just help us? We have prayer points for you in your bulletin. There's a little bookmark. You can take it. You can put it in your Bible, and there's some prayer points for every day this week so that we can be praying in unison that the Lord will help us pull together all of the things that we need for phase two. We do anticipate breaking ground about midway through this summer, and so we're working very hard. We need your prayers, and we thank you so much. There's one more thing I want to ask you to do. There's a white line. I don't know whether you've noticed it. There's a white line on the parking lot. It goes onto the grass. That is phase two. And I want to ask you if you'd do something over the next couple of weeks. Would you walk the line with us? And would you maybe come a little early for services or stay for a few minutes after service? Or if you're here during the week, would you just take a few extra minutes to just walk that white line and just make a loop, make a circle around phase two and just pray with us, be in prayer with us? I want to tell you something. The Lord said in his word, it is not by might, it is not by power. It's not by the cleverness of man or the strength of man, but it is by my spirit, God said. And so we're trusting the Lord to do great things for our congregation. All right, look with me in Galatians chapter 2, beginning in verse 15. We shared these verses last week, and we have a little more that we need to get out of these verses before we move on in the letter of Galatians. Galatians 2, beginning in verse 15, what is union with Christ? Paul says in Galatians 2:15, even we who are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners know that a man is not justified by doing the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith into Jesus Christ so that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by doing the works of the law, because by doing the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. Jump down to verse 20, if you would, of Galatians chapter 2. Verse 20, some of the most famous words of St. Paul. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that lives, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, then Christ died for nothing. Let's pray and ask the Holy Spirit to come speak to us. Father, I thank you so much for this day. I thank you for the people you love so much. Thank you for your presence here. Father, I pray that we would encounter you now through the ministry of your word. We ask in Jesus' name, if your heart agrees, say amen and amen. Every book in the Bible has a verse or two that is the key to interpreting that book. It states the author's thesis, the author's main point, if you will. In the Gospel of Mark, the key verse is chapter 10, verse 45. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. In Acts, the key verse is chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes on you, and you shall be my witnesses. Right now, we're reading Paul's letter to the new believers in the region of Galatia. That's in modern-day Turkey. But I want you to know that this is no ordinary letter. This is a letter from heaven, a letter inspired by the Holy Spirit to speak all the way across the ages, over across time and distance to you and to me. Chapter 2, verse 16, is the interpretive key for the book of Galatians. We know that a man is not justified by doing works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Paul talks in verse 20 of chapter 2 about living by faith, and the rest of Galatians explains just what that means and what that looks like. Last week, we talked about what is faith. And if you were away for the long weekend, I want to encourage you, go to our website, give a listen to the sermon, or stop by the Welcome Center, get a copy of the CD. I know that you'll be blessed. It's important to know what is faith, because the next few paragraphs of Paul's letter describe several spiritual realities and experiences to which faith gives us access. Faith is the doorway to God. Faith is the doorway to salvation. It's the means by which we lay hold of saving grace. Faith is the doorway to the kingdom of heaven. It's the doorway to all the riches of God in Jesus Christ. It's the doorway to eternal life. When we have that moment of being convinced deep inside about Jesus, when we have that moment of surrendering our will to Jesus, a whole new world opens up to us. That truth was captured in the words of one of the most loved hymns of all time, written by a young man who was once very angry, an alcoholic, a gambler, a carouser, dishonorably discharged from the Royal Navy, a deckhand on a slave trading ship, who in the midst of a violent storm at sea found faith in the bow of a sinking ship. He wrote these words, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." He wrote, "How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed." Faith is a moment of access to God. It is a portal of access. The next several paragraphs of Galatians share several spiritual realities and experiences that lie on the other side of the doorway of faith. The first one of those is union with Christ. Union with Christ is the most fundamental truth of the Christian faith that you have probably heard little or nothing about. What is union with Christ? Looking at Paul's words, I see four truths that I want to share with you quickly this morning. What is union with Christ? Four truths. The first one is this. Union with Christ means that your status has changed to in a relationship. Now, for those of you who are on Facebook, nothing lights up Facebook like someone changing his status to in a relationship. When you put it up on Facebook, it ends weeks, even months of wild speculation on the part of your friends. I knew something was going on there. When you put it on Facebook, it's serious. When you put it on Facebook, it's official. Did you know that God has a book in heaven? Not Facebook, but the Lamb's book. And in it are written the names of those whose statuses have been changed. You see, there is a moment of faith. There is a moment of being deeply convinced about Jesus. There is a moment of surrendering your will during which a bond, a relationship is initiated between you and Jesus. There is a moment of believing in which your status in heaven is changed from single sinner to in a relationship with Jesus. I want to tell you, when that happens, all of heaven lights up. The angels light up. You know, God doesn't tweet, but he does dispatch the dove of heaven to come to you when you believe. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit next week. It's Pentecost Sunday. It's called union with Christ, and it's the starting place of every other spiritual reality in the Christian life. What does union with Christ mean? Union with Christ means that you are now vitally connected to Christ. Union with Christ is expressed in the New Testament by the words in Christ. I in Christ, Christ in me. Paul used that expression in Christ more than anybody else. He used it 216 times. John used it 26 times. But Jesus himself was the first one who talked about union with Christ. He said to the disciples, on that day, you will realize that you are in me and I am in you. In the upper room, Jesus used a picture to describe our union with him. He said, I am the vine, I'm the root, I am the trunk, and you are the branches. Abide in me and I will abide in you. And you will be very fruitful. You know, God has programmed into creation a miracle by which grafting is possible. It still amazes me that you can go over to a tree and you can cut a branch off of that tree and you can carry it over to another tree and you can make a slit in the trunk of that tree and you can stick those two cut places together. And the life of that trunk will flow into the branch and they will become one. And the trunk of that new tree will keep that cut branch alive. Paul said that's exactly what happens to us when we believe on Jesus. He said, though you were a wild shoot, a wild branch, you have been grafted in among the other branches, and now you share in the nourishing sap from the root, Jesus. You see, at the moment of faith, your branch gets cut away from your old source of life, and it gets grafted into Jesus Christ. You are organically joined with him. You are permanently attached to him. You are distinct from him, and he is distinct from you, but you are part of each other. His life flows into you, and you become spiritually alive. You become healthy and beautiful, and you bear delicious fruit. God is the gardener. He is the one that makes the connection between you and Christ. Paul said, it is from God that you are in Christ Jesus. And that connection is vital, meaning that your spiritual life depends upon it. Were you to be severed away from the trunk, you would spiritually die. What does union mean? Union means that you are now under the headship of Christ. Paul uses another picture to describe union with Christ, and that is the connection between the head and the body. Christ is the head, and we are all members of his body. Just like the vine and branches, head and body shows again that we are organically and vitally connected to Christ, but head and body adds another dimension. The body is not equal with the head. The head directs the body. Did you know that the first part of you that began to develop in your mother's womb in the first 4 weeks was your brain and your central nervous system? You had a brain before you had a heart. That means that we were all born lawyers. Because the body relies upon the head for direction. In the same way, union with Christ is a relationship with Christ in which he is the head. He is the leader. What is union with Christ? Union means that you now share a mystical bond of intimacy with Christ. Paul gives another picture that describes union with Christ, and that is the one flesh bond that exists between a husband and a wife. We had a great time celebrating marriage this weekend. Can't say thank you enough to our friends John and Edna Lahara and everyone that worked with them to bring the Art of Marriage Conference. It was just a spectacular time, Friday evening and Saturday morning here at Harvest Time. But the magic of marriage is the beautiful one flesh bond that God creates between a husband and a wife. Beloved, don't believe it when you hear people say that Jesus never addressed the issue of homosexual marriage. Jesus did address it by affirming unequivocally what marriage is. In Matthew 19:4, he said, "Haven't you read in the beginning, God created them male and female?" In Genesis, it says that God looked at his creation and he noticed that every other creature except Adam had a mate with corresponding body parts. That's what the Hebrew literally says. So God made Eve. God made men for women and he made women for men. God made male parts that correspond to female parts and he made female parts that correspond to male parts. And all God's people said, amen. Jesus went on and he said, "For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh, so they are no longer two, but one." Beloved, when a husband and a wife, within the sacred covenant of marriage, physically join their bodies together, God causes a supernatural bond to form between them. It's a powerful connection. It's a powerful intellectual connection. It's a powerful emotional connection. It's a powerful spiritual connection. In fact, it is the most intimate bond that can possibly exist between two people on earth. And that sense of connectedness, it stays with you long after intercourse. You are still one flesh when you're working. You are still one flesh when you're working out. You are still one flesh when you're traveling on business. You are still one flesh when you're shopping or paying the bills or playing with the kids. The result of sex within marriage is an abiding sense of well-being. You feel secure and significant. You feel understood and affirmed. You feel lovable and lovely and loved. You feel confident. You feel fulfilled. Now listen, Jesus said God only does this supernatural joining together between one man and one woman within the sacred covenant of marriage. God will not supernaturally glue together a hookup. God will not supernaturally glue together a dating couple. He will not supernaturally glue together a cohabitating couple. Doesn't matter how much you love each other or how much you're committed to each other, God's requirement is the covenant of marriage. I'm just telling you what the book says, all right? Just don't shoot the messenger. I'm just telling you what's in the Bible, okay? That's what the word says. Neither will God supernaturally glue together a man and a man or a woman and a woman. People might join their bodies together, but outside of marriage, God will not grant them the blessing of the one flesh bond that is fulfilling and security building and soul satisfying. Now, Paul says that that one flesh bond between husband and wife is a picture of the bond that God creates between believers and Jesus Christ. In fact, the earthly picture is just a shadow of the glories of the heaven reality. Paul said, whoever is united to the Lord is one in spirit with him. He calls it a profound mystery. God gives us this abiding sense of connectedness to Christ. We feel connected to him on a spiritual level. We feel connected to him on an emotional level, on an intellectual level. We sense that Christ is with us and that he is interested in us. Jesus doesn't have his face buried in his iPhone. He's not on Facebook. He's not watching hockey or baseball or Bill O'Reilly. In that mystical bond with Christ is the ultimate fulfillment of which even the best of marriages is but a mere shadow. You feel ultimately secure, ultimately significant, ultimately understood and affirmed and loved. You feel ultimately confident, ultimately fulfilled. What is union with Christ? It means you're in a relationship. Four truths. What is union with Christ? The second truth is this. Union with Christ means that you are now presumed innocent by association. You are now presumed innocent by association. Union with Christ is the basis of the spiritual truths that we call the atonement, imputation, justification, identification with Christ. Don't get scared, I'll explain it to you. But taken together, the sum of those truths mean that because of union with Christ, you are now innocent by association. Has anybody here ever been presumed guilty by association? I remember once when I was a kid, I was accused by a clerk at 7-Eleven of shoplifting candy. Hadn't stolen anything, but I was there with some boys from my neighborhood who had taken some things before. He made me empty out my pockets on the counter. What a show that was. Have you ever seen a 10-year-old boy empty his pockets? There were matchbox cars and marbles and rubber bands and baseball cards and rocks and everything you can imagine. The customers were laughing while I put this mountain of stuff on the counter. I hadn't taken anything, but I was presumed guilty by association. Actually, the Bible says that God presumes all of us guilty by association. We're all born into a state that Paul calls in Adam. From birth, Adam's sin is charged to our account. From the very beginning of our life, God considers us liable for Adam's sin. Maybe you've heard of predatory lenders that offer credit cards to people with bad credit. They charge excessive membership fees. They charge high interest rates so that when the first statement arrives, the account holders are shocked to find out that they already owe hundreds of dollars. And in no time, that debt just snowballs out of control. You know, that's precisely what it's like to be born in Adam. We're all born in debt. We're all born in the red. We're in the hole already. We're all born with a balance due to God. That might strike us as unfair. But when Adam sinned, he wasn't only acting personally, but as the head of the human race, he was acting representatively. And you add to that our own sins, because all of us have sinned, and in no time our debt has snowballed out of control. There's no possible way that we could ever redeem ourselves. There's no possible way that we could ever repay our sin debt to God. So God did the only thing that could be done and what only God could do. Jesus came to earth to be presumed guilty by association. God himself put on a body of human flesh and he came to earth. But as the unique God-man, Jesus became the head of a whole new race. You see, as the Son of God, he was not born in Adam. He wasn't born in debt. He wasn't born under the presumption of guilt. But as the Son of Man, he identified with our humanity in every way. He became like us in every way. He was tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. Jesus lived a life of perfect obedience to God. His ultimate act of obedience, Paul says, was to offer his life as a sacrifice for the sins of the world. On the cross, Jesus bore our sins in his body. God made him to become sin for us. Listen, that doesn't mean that Jesus became a sinner, but God presumed Jesus guilty by association. God charged our sins to Jesus' account. Jesus didn't commit the sins, but he paid the penalty for the sins. A while back ago, Denise and I took our kids out to eat one night. We went to Pizza and Brew, and there were our friends, Les and Mary Pavanetti, eating with their kids. We sat down at the table, we ordered food, we ate, and when it was time to go, we asked for the tab, only to discover that Les and Mary had already paid it and slipped away. Les and Mary didn't order the food on our table. They didn't enjoy the food on our table. They were not in any way responsible for running up that tab, but they paid it for us. And that's just like God. On the cross, God redirected our tab to Jesus, and Jesus paid it all. Now, when by faith you become united to Christ, God presumes you to be innocent by association. In that moment of faith, this is good preaching right here. This is the doctrine of imputation and justification. In the moment of faith, in the moment of believing and surrender, what Jesus did on the cross becomes personally applied to you. And when you become united to Christ, you are no longer in Adam. Now you are in Christ. That means God no longer presumes you guilty by association. Instead, God now presumes you innocent by association. When Jesus lived perfectly obedient to God, he wasn't only acting personally, but as the head of a new race, he was obedient representatively. So even though you didn't obey God in Christ, God credits Jesus' obedience to you, and he rewards you just as if you had obeyed. No wonder Hebrews says we have been the recipients of so great a salvation. These are the great spiritual truths called the atonement, called imputation, called justification. Adam sinned, and his guilt was imputed. His guilt was charged to the entire human race. Christ was perfectly obedient, and all of humanity's guilt was imputed, was charged to him. Some people find faith, some people believe, and Christ's perfect obedience is imputed or credited to them. Atonement means an exchange. When you believe, your guilt punishment is diverted to Christ, and Christ's righteous reward is diverted to you. Justification means that God regards you to be in possession of a righteousness that is not your own. Even though you didn't obey, God regards you as if you did. Even though you didn't obey, God rewards you as if you did. In Christ, God now presumes you innocent by association. I don't know about you, but that makes me want to speak in tongues right there. What is union with Christ? Four truths. The third truth is this. Union with Christ means that you are now the beneficiary of identity gift. You are now the beneficiary of identity gift. Little poll. How many people here have ever been the victims of identity theft? Let me see your hand if you've been the victim of identity theft. Denise and I have a couple times. One time, someone from a card reader got a hold of my debit card information and went on a spending spree in Brooklyn, charged $1,400 out of my checking account. Another time, someone opened a credit card in Denise's name and charged a couple thousand dollars worth of Apple stuff on it. Actually, the entire human race is the victim of identity theft. Our innocence, our authority, our dignity, our fellowship with God was robbed from us. But when we come in Christ, we become beneficiaries of identity gift. In Christ, you are no longer Satan's victim. In Christ, you are now God's beneficiary. Rather than having our identity stolen, we are given the credit that belongs to a better identity. Imagine if Warren Buffett came up to you one day and said, "Hey, here's my Amex. Go be me for the weekend." What would you do? I wonder if you can put phase two on an Amex. Imagine if Billy Joel came and said, "Hey, here's my Ferrari and the keys to the house in the Hamptons. Go be me for the weekend. Mi casa, su casa." You know, that's what it's like to be in Christ. We have been given access to everything that belongs to Him. His casa has become mi casa. In some way that's beyond our understanding, really, when we are in Christ, His experiences become our experience. So Christ died, and somehow I have died with Him. Christ arose, so in Christ, somehow I have arisen with Him. Christ ascended, so in Christ, somehow I have ascended with Him. Christ has dominion, so somehow in Christ, I have dominion with Him. Think about this. This is cool right here. At the end of the age, all of the dead of all humanity will be raised. And there will be a final judgment. But not for those who are in Christ. Because the moment, listen to this. I'm going to speak in tongues. I know it. I'm not going to make it to 11:30 service. Because listen, the moment we believed, we already passed through the final judgment. We already made it through. God already made His decision about us. He already issued His verdict. You are presumed innocent by association. And because we have already passed through the final judgment, we already have access to the rewards that lie on the other side of the final judgment. We've already passed through the judgment, so we already have access to eternal life. We have already passed through the judgment, so we already have access to heaven on earth. We have already passed through the judgment, so we already have access to all the riches of God in Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus said, "Repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Believe and surrender. Pass ahead of time through the judgment so that you can access now heaven on earth." In Christ, we are the beneficiaries of identity gift. What is union with Christ? It means to be in a relationship. It means to be innocent by association. It means to be the beneficiary of identity gift. One final truth I have for your worship team. Come help me if you would. I like this one. Union with Christ remains true even when you don't feel like it. Union with Christ helps us to understand something awesome about our closeness to God. You know, sometimes our very strong feelings can cause us to forget the facts of our new life in Christ. In August, Denise and I will be married 19 years. And we couldn't possibly be any more married. Now, that sounds like a sweet sentiment, but actually, I don't mean it sentimentally. I mean it factually. Legally and covenantally before God, there is nothing that we could do to be any more married than we are. Even if we went to Greenwich Town Hall and we got another marriage license, we couldn't get any more married than we already are. Even if we came to the church altar and we had another wedding ceremony, we couldn't get any more married than we already are. Legally and covenantally before God, we are as married as we can possibly be. We got married on August 19th, 1995, and we can't get any more married. Now, intimacy in marriage is another thing altogether. Intimacy depends upon time spent together. Beloved, there is no quality time without quantity of time. You know, it's a divine irony, really. Intimacy brings to your marriage the gift of children, and then children rob your marriage of the gift of intimacy. You want to know the best method of family planning? Have a family, and you won't have to plan as much anymore. And all the married people said, amen. Intimacy depends upon the quality of communication. Intimacy depends upon care and attention. Intimacy depends upon fidelity. But listen to me. Here's the truth. Even when intimacy is running low in your marriage and you don't feel as connected to your spouse as you once did, you are still as married as you could possibly be. Your disconnected feelings don't make you any less married, either legally or before the Lord. In fact, even if two married spouses have lived apart from each other for years, if one tried to remarry someone else, he would very quickly discover that he is still married. And that helps us to understand an awesome truth. In Christ, you are already as closely connected to God as you could possibly be. Oftentimes, when we struggle, we say, God, I want to be close to you. I need to be closer to you. God, make me closer to you. But actually, in Christ, we are already as close to God as we could ever be. Legally and covenantally, it is not possible for us to get any closer. How close are you to God? As close as Jesus. Now, intimacy is another matter altogether. Intimacy depends upon your investment of time. It depends upon the quality of your communication, your care, your attention. It depends upon your fidelity. There are all kinds of things that rob us of intimacy with the Lord. Jesus said the cares of this life, the responsibilities, the pleasures, the pursuits, the struggles, the sorrows. Met with someone this week who's grieving a very painful loss right now, said to me, I just can't seem to hear God's voice. God hasn't moved away from you. It's the sorrow that is just blocking you from feeling intimate. Apathy robs us of intimacy. Neglect robs us of intimacy. Disobedience to God, the tricks of the enemy. But here's the word of the Lord for someone here this morning. If you have trusted Jesus as your Savior, in Christ, you are already as closely connected to God as you could ever be. If you don't feel very close at the moment, it's not that you need to get closer to God. You can't. You just need to get intimate with Him. Receive this encouraging word from the Lord today. If you're feeling disconnected, if you're feeling distant, if you're feeling out of touch, if you're feeling that there's just no communication happening right now, union with Christ is a fact that is stronger than your present feelings. In Christ, you are already as close to God as you could ever be. What you need is just a little more intimacy. You need a weekend away with Jesus to reconnect. You need a date night with Jesus. You just need to reprioritize your schedule a little bit. You just need to change some things around. You need some daily conversation with God through the Word, through prayer. You just need to serenade Him with some love songs. But if you're struggling with this right now, the Holy Spirit wants to encourage you. Don't let your faith be driven by your feelings, which bounce up and down. Instead, let your faith be driven by the facts of the Word of God. You are united with Christ. You are in Christ and Christ is in you. You are a new creation in Christ. You are God's handiwork in Christ. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. You are God's son. You are God's daughter in Christ. Your life is hidden in God with Christ. You have been joined by God to Christ. You are organically and vitally connected to Christ. You are alive by faith in Christ. You are under the headship of Christ, thriving. You share a mystical bond of intimacy with Christ. You are innocent by association in Christ. You are free from condemnation in Christ. You are washed and sanctified and justified in Christ. You are dead to sin in Christ. You have been buried with Christ. You have been baptized into Christ. You have been raised into newness of life with Christ. You are clothed with Christ. You are fruitful in Christ. You are the beneficiary of identity gift in Christ. You are already seated on a heavenly throne in Christ. You are joint heirs with Christ. You are free in Christ. You have eternal life by faith in Christ. You have the hope of glory inside of you in Christ. Last week I gave you some mustard seeds to remind you that faith is powerful, even just a little bit. Today it's a wedding band. Did you get your little wedding band on the way in? You got it? All right, don't wear it too long on your finger. It'll turn green, all right? People did all kinds of crazy things with their mustard seeds. A lot of people planted their mustard seeds. Some people gave them away. Some people told me they put them on their workstation just to remind them. This week it's a wedding band. Just to remind you that no matter what you're facing right now, no matter what you're feeling right now, you are united to Christ. It is a fact. Let it build your faith. Would you stand on your feet and give Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, one great big praise in this place? Oh, come on, I know we can do better. Let's give Jesus a great big praise.